Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
Hey everybody, it's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. We're here at the ECC Annual Perspectives Conference. It's the 54th annual conference. And I'm here with Spencer Middleton. Spencer is a manager of major projects for Meta. And Spencer just got off the panel talking about modern industry construction and advanced technology. So Spencer, tell everybody a little bit about your journey from oil and gas and chemicals into the transition into technology construction.
Yeah, so the vast majority of my career was spent in the oil, gas, petrochem industry. And I will tell you that each of those experiences at various stops helped to prepare me for what would come with the tech industry, which is hyperscale, extremely fast paced. And so it took a lot of adjusting to kind of get used to the differences between oil, gas, petrochem. But I would say I don't know that I would have been better prepared coming from any industry going into the tech than the oil and gas industry.
You know, Spencer, talk about some of the projects you did, like at Fluor, at CP Chem, give some folks a little bit of background, P6620.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I would say prior to starting at Phillips 66, I worked for Fluor's government group, which was based out of the Middle East, which was supporting the Department of Defense, Department of the State. And so we were what was called contingency operations, which was the military needed X today. We had to figure out how to provide that for them today. And so after completing that, I wanted to be a little bit closer to home. Fluor gave me the opportunity to come over to its energy and chemicals division. And so I took that opportunity in Houston, relocated back, and I supported the Chevron Phillips Chemical facility out in Baytown, Texas, USGC 1594, as some people better know it. Quite the unique project because it was Fluor's first foray back into self-performed construction, so that was extremely challenging, but also very fun. But more importantly, at the tail end of that, Hurricane Harvey happened. And so I found myself reaching back to some of those same contingency operations mindset that I had developed working for Fluor's government group, because at the time we had 6 to 8 feet of water across the entire job site. And so it was immediately, how do we quickly recover and get back on track from a construction execution standpoint? While doing that, I was fortunate to meet a lot of really good people from Phillips 66. Post completion of that project, they brought me over and I worked for Phillips 66. We were intimately involved with the fractionation projects down in Sweeney, Texas. But I was also the lead for a major revamp within the fluid catalytic cracker unit that they redid. Then again, I found myself reaching back to a lot of those contingency operations, just activities and the thought process while executing that project as well. Then something happened that I think probably impacted all of us, which was COVID in March of 2020, that I would say drastically shaped or reshaped the way we all viewed the world. It was at that time that a good friend of mine reached out. She had moved on to Tesla and said, hey, think we may have a unique opportunity for you. Long story short, I got 5 phone calls the same day, setting up interviews, and off to Tesla I went. There, I oversaw the construction of the Gigafactory in Austin, which is quite the, I would say, construction, what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like a monument to like doing things different. And so when you think about what we were able to accomplish, over 100,000 tons of steel, over 11 million, roughly 11 million square feet in size, and getting that done in 15 to 16 months, mind-blowing.
The footprint of that is three pentagons? Is that what you said in your presentation?
Yes, yeah, wow. Over the size of 3 pentagons, and if you're ever riding down Highway 130, It's about a mile long. So for about 3 or 4 minutes, you see nothing but the Gigafactory.
Let's flip to Meta. Tell us what Meta's doing. Is it all data centers? And geographically, where are they making investment?
Absolutely. My career at Meta started in January of this year. And yes, we are supporting build out of data centers to support the businesses that we run.
Sure.
When we talk about geographical locations, I would say there is probably no corner of the United States that we're not exploring to build data centers. Because again, if you look at Meta's mission, it's to connect people. In order for us to connect people, we're gonna have to provide capacity to support our businesses to be able to do that. So we're building all over the United States, and we're also looking at opportunities outside of the US as well.
Okay, thanks, Spencer. So let's get into some differences between a little bit about your background, energy and chemicals, you know, versus tech. Let's talk about, you know, maybe project delivery. What are some differences between what you saw, you know, oil and gas and chemicals, and now in the tech space?
I would say the biggest distinction has been in my oil and gas experience, cost was kind of the predominant driver. In the tech industry, it's all about schedule. How quickly can we build it? How quickly can we get to market? And that's uniquely very different than the oil, gas, and petrochem industry. The other item I would say that's very different is we're much flatter of an organization in the tech world. And so it makes for more nimble decision-making, flexible, fungible. Those are kind of some of the keywords we utilize. And so a lot of times in the oil and gas industry, there's so many checks and balances that you have to clear in order to execute construction projects. It's a little less on the tech side. So I would say those are probably two of the biggest distinctions.
How is business, governments, and approvals different, you know, for someone like a project like Meta or Tesla as opposed to, I don't know, CP Chem?
I would say there's significantly less checks and balances. And by that, I mean, for example, in the oil and gas industry, if we're making a change order, for example, that has to go through 2, 3, sometimes 4 different levels of approval before we can start acting on it. My experience, for example, at Tesla was the exact opposite. We would go into a room, we brought the right decision makers in, and it was like, is this best for what we're trying to accomplish? And if the answer to that was yes, everyone went marching in that direction, and literally it was get it done. It was that mindset and mentality.
Spencer, in the presentation you mentioned design one, build many. What does that mean?
It means look for ways to design whatever it is you're building to where it's agnostic to a site location. Mm-hmm. And then once you've figured out the locations, build that in as many places as you can from that design. It's adapting that design, that's call it a 75% solution, and adapting it to 5, 6, 7 different sites in order to deploy as many as quickly as possible without restarting that engineering window from the very beginning again.
Gotcha. Let's go into project permitting. How is that different?
Actually, no different.
Okay.
I would say the one thing that's probably a little nuanced is we kind of have roadmaps in our role, and so we kind of know or have an idea of what we think we want to do 5, 10 years down the road. And so if we're thinking about a specific location, we're starting the permit process as soon as we are starting to consider that location for one of our projects. That's probably the only difference, but the actual permitting process is the same for getting a permit to build an oil and gas or a petrochem refinery.
Gotcha. So let's get into vendor partnerships. It's a hyper focus for someone like Meta. What's unique about the way Meta goes about its vendor partnerships?
Well, for one, we see the partnerships as two-sided. And so by that I mean we see their success as our success. And so we're looking for ways on, one, here's what we want to build. Here's the timeline in which we want to do it. How can we help you be successful? Like, you understand the challenges we face. You understand what equipment we're going to need to support this. It's collaborative in nature. And so we're working with our vendors in that regard. And the other thing I would say is we're working with our vendors as it pertains to kind of the sustainability front.
Right.
There's a massive push, I would say, across the industry to become more green and reduce our carbon footprint. And so we're looking at that as well on how can we work with our vendors and partners to make sure that our thoughts and visions for becoming a more sustainable company is also trickling down to them as well.
How about safety culture, Spencer? When we get into things like you know, risk, right? How is sort of the risk, I guess, tolerance, or how is just risk defined maybe differently or even similar between tech and oil and gas and chemicals?
Absolutely. I would say, first and foremost, we pull a lot of our cues from the oil and gas industry.
Sure.
A lot of what they have done, I believe, has made them the preemptive leader within safety as we know it today.
Got
it. I would say there's one unique difference from a safety standpoint and how we approach risk. We're asking ourselves, we recognize that this is a risk, but how can we still accomplish what it is we want to accomplish and work around this risk? So we're looking for ways to actually do it instead of looking for ways why we can't do it because of something that's been prescribed. So it's bringing the smartest people into the room and saying, if we want to do this, it's a high risk activity. What can we do to mitigate the risk? And how can we work around this to still accomplish what it is we're trying to accomplish?
Thanks, Spencer. So look, kind of a broad question here, but I think all energy and industrial contractors are trying to improve. Just broadly speaking, are there a couple lessons learned in your experience, especially in the last 3 years? What are those key takeaways you could share with some companies as they maybe want to get some of this work, right? Or they just want to understand how to get that work?
Absolutely. I would say it's be flexible. Mm-hmm. Understand that the tech industry is all about innovation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we're going to continue to innovate even though we're in flight building. And so be flexible and or fungible and able to adapt to the very throes of what it is we're trying to accomplish. The other thing I would say is change the approach from being as much focused on cost to challenging every turn to improve schedule efficiencies as well. It's one of the things we constantly pride ourselves on. Why does this take so long?
Yeah.
I think if you look at the oil and gas industry, it's more, well, we've done this before and this is how long it's taken in the past. I think that's a great thing to do, to revert back and look at what you've done for past execution. I think the missing component to that I found has been extremely successful for me on some of the projects that I've executed is looking at that and then saying, okay, if we were able to do this in 100 days, how do we reduce that to 80 days? And constantly challenging ourselves to look at what we've done in the past and try to improve on getting that better, not simply meeting or matching the 100 days that we achieved previously.
Gotcha. Spencer, let's get into talent, you know, building teams. Everyone's trying to attract more talent and they're trying to retain that talent.
Absolutely.
They go into a couple things you've learned, you know, in your experience of how these other companies like Tesla and Meta are attracting and retaining talent.
I think the biggest driver is they're giving opportunities, and it doesn't matter what your age is. If you look at the CEOs that lead some of the top tech companies in the world, they're in their 30s and 40s. If you look at the average age of a CEO that's leading, for example, an oil and gas company, right, they're in their 50s and 60s. And so I would say it would be willing to give the group that have proven themselves that they have the drive, they want to get in and get it done, give them more opportunities. I will tell you that in their studies that have backed this up, the average employee that's hard charging a driver, they're not leaving because of money, they're leaving because of the lack of opportunity.
Right.
And so I would say be more willing to give that group the opportunity, in a lot of instances, the opportunity to fail. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but in the tech world, you probably have heard fail forward. It's kind of a real thing for us. We're given the opportunity to fail, but it's only a failure if you learn nothing from that failure. And so it's how can we take what didn't go well, focus very little on that part, take the part that did go well and adapt that to the what's coming next. I think that would be the biggest driver to retaining talent, but also attracting talent as well as giving them those opportunities.
Phil Ford. Spencer, thank you for your time. We had a blast here at ECC and I enjoyed getting to know you a little bit.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Great, man.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.